This is Nerd FT Radio, where nerds full-time, explorers of the metaverse, surfers of the blockchain, and not in our mom's basement. I'm your host, RSG, a.k.a. Orlando City is in second place, Crier, and we're going to the playoffs. And I am here with Crypto Crier, a.k.a. Legends of Mara, Maxi. Crier.
Yeah.
Your bags aren't doing so hot right now. Just got to put it out.
Why, Yuga? Why?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
We said the Legend of Mara released last week. We think we talked a little bit about it, but yeah, I finally got my reveal of my hunter vessel, and it was the cheapest possible reveal. Worst thing. I can't even do anything. I just have to wait until they release something now. So everyone else is farming and doing all this stuff, and I'm like, I can't even do that without buying. The minimum to play this game is like astounding to me. It's literally probably 2 ETH to like be just like basic.
That's ridiculous. That's actually something pretty interesting. I guess we'll lead right into the first topic that we have to talk about, which is Sugartown. So we've talked about Sugartown for some time now. We should hopefully as well. I'm going to put this into the air, into existence. Camel's coming on the podcast to talk about this at one point. Sugartown is the NFT project for Zynga, is very famously known for Farmville, for
Words with Friends,
Toy Blast, Words with Friends, all these incredible phone games that have been revolutionizing literally mobile gaming. And they finally took the leap into Web3. And myself, Crier, we got on the list, we minted, we staked. And fortunately for some of us at NRN, they were able to go ahead and jump into the alpha of the actual Sugartown like platform and first gameplay, etc. So obviously when you think about Zynga, you think about mobile gamings. It's going to be games that are addicting, there you go, as well as my famously said game that I always talk about every single time in this podcast, which would be Farmville, something that kind of correlates with what you guys were doing over at Heavy Metal, where it's a game that brings you back after 6 hours, something new, something different. Obviously on your guys' side with Heavy Metal wasn't as fun as I remember Farmville was, at least. But again, that's when you think about Zynga, you think about that. Of course, the other massive thing is Zynga was purchased out by 2Take, which is also owner of 2K, owns Rockstar Gaming, which means Camel might know when the new GTA is going to launch or release. So we need to extract that information from him when he's on the podcast. But first reviews are pretty much, say it again.
Get his credentials and sneak in. And
get his credentials, sneak in, find out, and release GTA for $120, $60, $70 instead of $120. Yeah. But a lot of the reviews are in pretty much. We had the alpha event. A lot of people saying awesome things about the game. For me, at least from the outside, because unfortunately I wasn't able to play Wink. It felt like the Dookie Dash aspect of it. Obviously, with the IP of Yuga, there was more rumble and more people talking about Dookie Dash than comparable to a Sugartown right now. But the whole overall like gameplay, it was very similar to where it's a game that's going to reel you in and you're going to want to play one more time because you can do better than the last time, right? Yeah. It was really cool, the leaderboard aspect of it as well, that allowed people for friendly competition. It was only 100 people that played, so if you were good, people are going to know that you were doing good. So shout out to Orangey. I think he was like top 5, top 10. At first, I think he was number 2, maybe.
Yeah, the top guy ended up having 600,000. I have 6,000. And just I got to like
put that in perspective.
50 but, so like, but I didn't Crier, play a ton. Ahead. Yeah. So I got to play the alpha. I think it's really interesting. I saw a lot of backlash of, oh, it's just old games that they've released before and they're like little mindless games. And I do think that, that's what they're releasing here. I think it's like their first foray. Like they're testing the waters. Like they're generally these games are either free to play or have a very freemium, pretty cheap activation, essentially, where you're able to play them. So I think they're trying to change the way that you get that freemium type feel, right? Like you get a free NFT, you are talking about the game, so you're almost like free promoting it to your social circles. And then the aspect of you earn the energy based on the NFT, it's a cool mechanic, right? Because like generally it's been the opposite of what you just need. It's like purchasing tokens to use, and that gives you entry to the game, or generally. So this is a way to say you get an NFT that NFT then gives you access to all the games they have. And I think that the gameplay mechanic is, again, it's like, it's simple. You get access to 6 or 7 games over time. I think all of them are generally repeats. So we have, so far there was this one, which was Geometry Dash, which is the original name, and now it's called Not Gonna Make It. We had the, it looks like Bazinga Poker is going to be one of them. There's a goat, like Mountain Goat game. And there, again, these are all like just little popular mini games they had. Now there's like things that were essentially, it's a leaderboard, it's competition. Those are now, it's like an arcade game, right? Same thing that we've heard other people talk about. We've had Gordon Gonner talk about it on his Twitter, just like our Ethereum is the new arcade. People want to get high scores. There's always that competition of things. Now there's a reward system. Like you get essentially the top person got essentially like what, one and a half ETH worth of value for that time that he spent. And I do think that but again, it's a super simplistic game. If you're looking for something that's mind breaking, I don't think that's coming for 10 years or something. I think it's a really long out time frame. And again, we talked about this before previously. It's like, the games that are here with blockchain or Pong, like you got to go back to Pong and rebuild essentially, because you're changing the way that the game is functioning at the base level of it. And it will go faster because we have all this new technology and all this stuff that can just, you're not inventing it for the first time. You're just reinventing 100%. It to fit the system. They all start out basic as hell, and everyone that's, oh, these games are boring and basic. And that's what it is. I feel like it's going to be like that for a good while until we actually get something crazy.
I would say that obviously there are some games that we've seen in the Web3 space that are more than just that. But the great thing about those games are that not everything in the game has to be like blockchain.
Yeah, blockchain game. Yeah.
It's only specific things, the transactions, the items, etc. That what truly, if you're a true gamer, that's the like advantage of all of this that we always talk about every single episode here, every single time you're on X, every single time you're in a Discord with your favorite freaking NFT project or or all your friends talking about video games. You hear the stories of people on FIFA or CSGO or Fortnite or RuneScape,
CSGO
or whatever.
CS2, Counter-Strike 2 coming out. All these people are buying these the boxes right now. Essentially, that's just lost money, whereas something that could... And I saw a really cool stat from somebody who's really big in the CSGO or CS2 ecosystem, and they were talking about how blockchain is the main medium of like gray market exchanges of skins.
100%.
Yeah, it's already in that realm of people want to trade these things, and there's high resale markets for them.
Look what's happening with Courtyard, if I'm not mistaken, with Pokemon cards. It's allowing true collectors and nerds and just individuals that just love freaking collecting to have a better experience in collecting. It's easier for the individual, and it's taking out all the nonsense that unfortunately there is. At the end of the day, there's that nonsense if it's the shipping, damages, losing it, etc. So a lot of it's pretty interesting.
I really like the Courtyard.
Yeah, it's actually pretty interesting.
If anyone hasn't heard about it, so essentially they were taking Pokemon cards that are Grails, essentially. The whole collection is called Grails That Got Away, and they've done 3 so far, and it's a lot of 200 cards that are fully graded, generally probably 8, 9, 10s, high Grail factor, old Pokemon cards, and then they store them. So they're essentially like a middleman that is storing the digital card, or sorry, the physical card for you. They partner with Brinks, and they issue you a NFT that it trades with the card. So whoever holds can redeem that for the physical. And the cool aspect of it too is if every time that card is traded, you get a royalty of 1%. If you are the person who owns a card and you're trading it, you get pretty much a return. And then the person who tokenized it the first time, so say you have a bunch of rare Pokemon cards, you're incentivized to store it with them and can also unlock liquidity. You can combine these things with token. Look at you. You have all these Funkos right here. How much do you think your entire Funko collection could possibly be worth? I know we're talking about Funkos in a little bit too.
I will tell you right now exactly how much my collection is worth. It is exactly $7,473.
Okay, yeah. So,
and that's estimated.
So say like you have all these Funkos there. You like to keep them displayed in your room and stuff like that. But at the same time, let's say you want to collect all those, ship them in to something like Arcade or Courtyard or any of these companies that are.
Oh, okay. You can
then take essentially a loan against
a loan off of it. Okay. Yeah.
That's not something that you can unlock physical items ever. Like collectibles are only like the value is nothing until you sell it for value, right? That's it. Like you hold on for it for 10 years. Whereas some of these cards are incredibly, incredibly valuable. So you pretty much paid $300 to get one of the recent set for Courtyard. You had a 1 in 200 chance of getting like a $6,000 Pokemon. It was a Mario Pikachu card. That was like a recent one. That's like rare.
Yep.
Not very many of them. So it's like a secret rare essentially because it was like secret artwork and stuff like that. Really cool ones. You know, they had Grow and our Discord actually won like a $2,800 first edition that was like 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10. So I do think these are, I don't know, it's something that you don't really appreciate the technology of NFTs at all until you see stuff like this, where it's just trading the physical item faster with more incentive,
more security.
The security is a little bit shaky because, I mean, I think your Funkos are pretty safe from being taken from you. But
more of the sense I was saying, like, I've gone to Colombia, right? I'm originally from Colombia, and I'd go into one of the little cities and they have like little flea markets and whatnot. And there would be a deck of Yu-Gi-Oh cards and you'd be like, oh, it's only $2 for like 100 of them. I'll buy them. You buy them. They're fake.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like the authenticity.
Authenticity aspect of it. It actually, with the backing of what they're doing and all this stuff, it actually can save a lot of people because I know for a fact there's a lot of people on eBay, on all these other 100%. Like Facebook Marketplace, Mercari, et cetera, where they're buying things and unfortunately they're not getting what they purchased or they're fake. We also saw that in the shoe game where there was on StockX, they were selling or reselling fake shoes and they literally guarantee it that it's not a fake shoe and there was fake shoes in this guarantee. So it's pretty interesting to see what this technology, the blockchain can do for all of this. Obviously it all depends on the company and if they're actually telling the truth, etc. But at least I personally, obviously being in the space for some time now, would feel more secure on this end than not.
Yeah, for sure. Just going from you're using a trusted third party versus that's the biggest problem with that's what NFTs solve, right? If it's a fully digital thing, you can 100% prove its authenticity instantaneously by checking it. So like it is that gap, you know, you still have to have a trusted third party member. So I do think that it relieves a little bit of the authenticity issue, but yeah, they're still subject to, if there's like super good fakes and stuff like that, I would say that's still an issue, but still it's better than zero. Like you're just buying some random guy on eBay or something like that. It's definitely a different, and we've been looking at those platforms. If you're interested in it, we've got 4 or 5 people, members in the Discord that are like really into it right now. So they've been looking at they're looking at the cards on Courtyard and there's some deals. Like they're actually buying them from the Courtyard website and then reselling them on eBay.
Really,
the value is,
and also the collector, like the true Pokemon collectors, unfortunately they're not in this space right now, so like you said,
100%. There could be these deals, arbitrage opportunity, absolutely. For sure, because there was a couple that we saw that like someone bought like a Luigi, there's a Mario and a Luigi, one of those cards.
Okay. See, I've never been big into Pokemon cards. This is what I was actually about to tell you. Hey, listen, in 4 days I got the big box coming for the 151. So obviously I'm going to have to stream it. Obviously I'm going to have to do something. So maybe this is a turning point for your boy RSG becoming a true Pokemon
card collector. Maxi.
Yes. So we'll see.
Hayes is real into it. So
you got him some cards, right?
Yeah. It's actually super funny. Cause we actually didn't even get any cards yet. He goes to the YMCA with my daughter all the time. And someone gave him a bunch of cards. Okay. Just like a pack. Okay. I think it was like I think it looks like a full pack because it looks like a new pack of those cards.
Okay.
It's all those new ones, like from the new set or whatever, the 151 editions or whatever. And he is just like going absolutely crazy about them.
I bet.
It's like hilarious.
Look, the IP at the end of the day
started a monster.
So oh, yeah. It's beautiful. Again, that's why all these projects that we're in on the PFP side, they always compare themselves to the next Pokemon. They're the future. When they vision what their project can be, they have to take it. It takes some of the Pokemon aspect of it because they did it so well for us growing up and all this. And again, Pokemon is one of the biggest IPs in the entire world to this day, still producing games that are phenomenal, cards, etc. So just with social media involved as well as the blockchain, imagine just what Pokemon can still grow. It could still like
The day that they make a full NFT version of these, because they're hiring, they've hired a ton of
blockchain.
It's gonna do that, but I just think it's gonna be a cool experience. Yeah. I feel like they're gonna do a really good job because they don't release bad products. That's their thing. Like
absolutely.
They fine tuned it down. They don't have to do a ton to really make it right. It just has to be released from them versus third party, right?
Yeah. Literally. The other thing that's been going on in the space, and you gotta throw it over to the boy Luca and Cryer and the Pudgy Penguin,
right?
Community. So we gotta throw some flowers over there. Speaking of just getting things done and getting into literally one of the biggest retail stores in the entire world, which is Walmart. Pudgy Penguin is officially, if I'm not mistaken, in 2,000 Walmart across the country with all of their plushies, their toys, the little ones, the big ones, everything that they got. Everything is out now. Obviously, we've had polarizing opinions on this as well. We've had the good side where I would probably find myself there, where you literally got an IP of an NFT project that 97% of the world thinks are scams in the largest retail store in the entire world. I think that's a positive. And for the individuals that are negative about it, oh my Lord, it's not luxury. It's like, what do you mean? It's like, that's not what you're trying to do. So Pokemon has plushies
We were bashing the Walmart Mutant Apes shirts not too long ago.
I mean, I wasn't. Who was? Who cares? Everyone
knows.
It's the same people. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, you have to have it with Balenciaga. You have to have it with Gucci. You have to have it with all these insane things. I'm going to be honest with you guys. All those brands I just named, I don't got nothing from them. And I go to Walmart like every other 2-3 weeks to buy something. So what are you guys smoking? Unless you're literally this billionaire that just, Walmart's too nice for me. Come on now. You're literally in a retail store where kids go with their parents and their parents buy presents, gifts, toys, everything for their children. And at the end of the day, as much as people want to say it or not, the Pudgy Penguins are freaking cute. I got one right freaking here. If you're watching on YouTube, I got it right here. He's cute. I'm just going to say, though, when my cool cat toy comes in, that's going somewhere else. But till this day, the Pudgy's chilling right there because that's a very good spot for him. But again, shout out to Luca, the team, the community as well, because y'all are just
up there
doing your thing. As well as, again, you have the brand new game that just came out for them as well. So they're just on all fronts doing a lot of really cool things. I will say, when you compare Sugartown to a Pudgy in the sense of this game that both ends have, obviously when you think about Web3, when you think about the metaverse, I would say like, point for the Pudgy Penguin aspect of it, where you can embed yourself into it with other people. It feels like that Club Penguin. It feels like that RuneScape. It feels like that, wow, all these games that when you think about the metaverse, that's what you want. Now, on the flip side, of course, Sugartown went on the sense of, hey, let's build multiple games, a leaderboard, and then later down the road, we're going to have that in like full blown game where you're going to go in and just the mini games are going to be like the arcades within the world and all that stuff. So obviously on the Zynga side, on the Risk Factor, because they're a multi-million billion-dollar company. Again, they're owned by 2Take. They need to test things out first, comparable to a Pudgy, where like they have to not only test, but blow everyone's minds away automatically so that they can grab the audience and then just keep on going. So on the Zynga side, they have the audience. They have to slowly but surely showcase the things that they're used to, which are games that we're all used to. Unfortunately, the one thing I didn't say in our previous segment was I wasn't as wowed about the game, but again, I understand the approach. You got to go in slow, figure things out. And like you said, it's not going to be for another 5, 7, 8, 10 years until we're going to have this immersive Ready Player One game that everyone's wanting. Unfortunately, your favorite PFP project, even Yuga, lied to you 2 years ago saying that it should be out by 2022. Because guess what? It's 2023. This is what we have. And Zynga's going this slower route. And again, Pudgy has to go a different route because they're growing the company. They're growing the IP. Zynga.
Well, they're growing all the verticals at once, right? Like they're growing like your top funnel of just catching people through knowing what a Pudgy Penguin is, right? The GIFs and 100%. All the social media content and blasts and stuff like that that's gaining a lot of traction. Then they have your $8, a little bit higher, lower funnel area where you're picking up kids and adults that are collecting these for $8 because it's cheap and they're cute. I think that's a cool thing. And Luca has a really good record of this type of stuff. He took the gel blasters from a $5 million a year sales through this exact deal of 2,000 Walmarts. And 1 year later, he had $75 million in sales. So
damn,
if he's able to, you know, cap even a success right there is even a little bit of that, right? If they increase sales at all, right? It's just it's a deal that can expand. And it's easy. Like they're not expensive. They have access to a social aspect of a little game where you're able to play with other penguins in the 3D world. They have a little Pengu Dash game now too. That's like Frogger essentially, which is also interesting. And they're all free again too. So they're not going the Balenciaga 12 grand route.
They still can. Listen, they have vinyl figures that are like very expensive and very limited. And that's the great thing about it. When you look at Pokemon, they have the same thing. There's very expensive colors of Pokemon.
Yeah.
And there's very non-expensive. And obviously the great thing about Pokemon is that very expensive trading card was at one point not very expensive. But again, now there is very expensive Pokemon collectibles that come out already at the top. And it's because of their success of the IP and all that
stuff. They already have. Their bottom funnel is the actual NFT collection, which is now up. Now it's at 5.5. They're up 2 ETH like since all this started essentially. So I do think that what's translating into more people are wanting to be getting them. Everyone's how do these NFTs go up in value from here? Because they just died. It's like that way right there. It just happened in front of your eyes.
Growth.
People were
IP
excited.
Expansion.
Yeah.
Excited. People cuteness. Excited fun. To
be a part of that community that is actually expanding and actually doing things and actually creating stuff that people are excited about, and people want to be part of that kumbaya and have fun, right? So like they join the huddle. So you see it happening right now. And even they have a little bit of that. Little Pudgies were at like 0.2 and now they're at 0.45. So like each of these little things are, that's a 20,000 collection. It's a little bit of a little less access. Or it's just, these things are, they have their funnel down very well and they're absolutely doing it. Great manner for sure. I think,
listen, I'm gonna tell you, Cryer, right now the world would be dominated by Pudgy Penguins by one act and one act only. And you know what that act is?
What is it?
Luca having a meeting with Disney and outright buying back Club Penguin. That's it. That's the only, I'm kidding, but it would be pretty funny to see that.
And again, that's what they're kind like of doing. You can create customized penguin,
creating their own though. Yeah. But imagine, Cryer, if they bought the rights of it. You're ridiculous. You got to go on YouTube, watch a little bit of Club Penguin, and see why. Just, you have to switch your brain off to, hey, make yourself really dumb and stupid for a little bit and be like, oh, wow, this is actually pretty fun if I was 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. And again, like I showed my kids, Hayes is like running on, oh, I can slide around with my penguin.
Yeah.
And he gets like customized shirt. So that capture is targeted at the right in their audience. There was some little bit of FUD backlash I thought was interesting. There was a Walmart comment
review.
That gave
one
review, one-star rating, saying that they're cute and well-made, but the whole goal is to get your children addicted to crypto and gambling at a young age or whatever.
Cute at the end. Cute, though. Made, but, though.
Well-made, though. Cute. But cute. But I know, I think... I don't know. I think the gambling thing is a bit of a huge stretch just because it's a couple bucks. That's not outfits are not gambling. don't know.
Listen, it sounds like that person bought the top of a very bad. What was the Serial project? They bought the top of the Serial project, and unfortunately, they're just down bad, and that's why they don't want their kids to go the same rabbit hole as their ex.
Shout out to Gail.
Oh God, come on, Gail. Figure your shit out, Gail. But it is pretty interesting. Again, remember when you buy these toys from. When you buy these toys at Walmart, you also are receiving NFTs that you are able to put in your wallet, the whole nine. But I could only imagine a lot of people buying these penguins and literally just throwing that thing out. But also it will lead to other people having this wallet. So vice versa, still not a bad thing because the scarcity aspect of it goes down because people are throwing it out. And on the other side, you're maybe bringing a brand new person into the world of NFTs and what this technology could be for. Again, these kids are literally the future generation that are going to be the next CEOs, the next founders, the next president, the next billionaire, the next all these people. And if you're young and you're understanding this technology and seeing how and why this could help so many sectors of the economy and so many sectors of like gaming and all these things, it could lead to a lot of people, just really good people, coming into the space and making a name for themselves as well. So that's obviously the very long term goal here. But one of the things we got to talk about, Cryer, and it's probably a holy shit moment for me at least, it's Vivi and Funko, Cryer. Do you understand that I was a Vivi Maxi, number one? Still am.
Oh, yeah, I definitely understand because I still have money in there that I can't use.
Number two, if you're watching right here on video, your boy has a lot of Funkos. We already said that. $7,400 worth of Funkos. By the way, I would like to state this. I've only purchased two Funkos over the actual original price of the Funko. It was a Ghost Rider Doctor Strange, which was money. That. And the other one was another Doctor Strange that was a Chase.
No way.
So it was two Doctor Strange. Everything else I've purchased at the dollar of whatever I bought it for. So I just want to put that out there. Number two, let's talk about what this partnership is. So it's actually a freaking partnership. Funko and Vivi are announcing a new collaboration with, not only are they collaborating, Cryer, they're collaborating. I couldn't even say that one. Collaborating with my favorite brand, which is Marvel, that merges the realms of physical and digital collecting. Releasing on October 18th, mark your goddamn calendar, 14 days, the collection features Marvel's Iron Man as a towering 18-inch comic-inspired Funko gold physical figure with a matching digital collectible figure available on the Vivi platform. So when you buy this Marvel character, which I'm assuming it's going to be on Funko's website, it's only 3,000 of them. It costs $150, and it's like a full blown. It's not just like a
that small. It's big.
It's not like just a Funko, and that's it. It's an actual like figure. It's not like the little bobblehead and whatnot. It's an actual figure.
Oh, it's not the style of Funko.
It's no, like it's a, not even it. It's like an actual figure, scale, the whole nine, looks really nice. It's $150, only 3,000 of them. And the really cool thing about it, the box itself, you can't see inside it, which means we got some variants in there. So that's the really cool part about Vivi, at least. When you go in for a comic, you're obviously not aiming for the common one, you're aiming for the secret rare. So there is going to be an aspect of a secret rare, etc., for you to go ahead and get. So once you get that box, there will be like we said before, a QR code or an address where you're going to be able to scan and then get that NFT into your Vivi account on Vivi's app. So overall, for me personally, that's so sick. It's so cool. And I've been actually talking to Jarvis over at Cool Cats. We were talking about Funko and how they have their digital collectibles on wax. And honestly, like the main reason I don't collect it is number one, there hasn't been any Marvel ones. And number two, it's on wax. I just don't want to do like another chain, another thing, another app. But if they did Marvel, I'd probably jump on it, or One Piece. But when this actually came out, I was like, Jarvis, like now I have to try to at least buy this, because like I was saying, the second you tell me an NFT in Marvel or One Piece, like I got to get in, even if it's on freaking Solana, I was going to go in there. I'm super excited. Pretty much what they said, by the way, is our approach to collectibles is centered on creating new ways for fans to show off their most treasured IPs. This is the chief financial officer and chief operating officer for Funko. Being able to be a part of Marvel's celebration of Iron Man through this collaboration with Vivi is the perfect way to show Funko's commitment to collecting and the ability to bring fandoms to fans in all forms. So again, this is just showcasing how incredible this could be. If you told me 10 years ago, hey, like half of your collection, you could have it digitally and the value of it is still there, like I would probably do it, because I'm going to be honest with you, Kara, I have no more room for another Funko. This would be very nice for that fact. But it is going to be interesting to see what happens once you get the collectible, obviously, as well as the figure. And what happens? Can you sell that figure? Can you not, et cetera? So it's just going to be interesting to see what they do once this goes down. But just get ready. October 18th, it is going to be on Funko's website. And I'm telling you guys right now, if you thought Vivi sucked with their queue, you have not met Funko's queue. So you have to be on the dot, precise, get ready for it, and you're probably not going to get it. So again, actually, you know what, Kern? Maybe you are, because Funko collectors hate NFTs. So maybe, just maybe, this is the moment where I get lucky. I've only gotten lucky like 3 times in my life. And the luckiest I got was this bad boy right here that I have in my hand. So let's see if this goes for number 4. So this should be interesting.
Killing it. But yeah, I still got $80 on the VV.
We just got it little by little. They do nice little comics.
I did get the common, whatever.
Good.
That was...
Start Iron Man collecting them up. Yeah, we just start little Iron Man here, little Black Panther there, little Doctor Strange here, little Wolverine there, and we should get some really cool things. Crier, we got to nerd out. The episode is ending, unfortunately. 2 things that I'd like to say on my side. Number 1, Ahsoka finale. Unbelievable. So sick, and probably one of the best lightsaber scenes of all time for Star Wars, finally.
Nice.
Number 2, the cliffhangers in there. Unbelievable. They're leading into something freaking massive. And to be honest, at the end of the day, I just can't get enough of Thrawn. I need more Thrawn in my life. I need more Ezra. I need all the Rebels in live action form. I just need more of. The one thing I will say from the show overall that pissed me off, I wanted more Chopper. But other than that, I'm very excited. It looks like there should be a season 2. If not, this is leading into another Star Wars movie. So again, super, super excited, super fun to see all these animated characters that we saw in Rebels and in Clone Wars just like come out to like real life with these real life characters in live action. And number 2, Crier, Loki is freaking back this week.
Oh, it's already come out.
Season 2, Thursday at 9 p.m. They're going the Game of Thrones route. We're not doing this bullshit where they release it at 3 a.m. in the morning for no apparent reason. We are getting it at 9 p.m. on Thursday, season 2. And if rumors are correct, Deadpool 3 is going to have very big connections to Loki. So if we see a freaking Deadpool connection in Loki in the show, I personally will lose my shit. So I cannot wait to see this. We're getting Kang back. We're getting Loki back. Mobius might get his jet ski for the first time ever. And we're getting some brand new characters involved in here too. And Sylvia is also coming back in Loki. So I'm super excited. Thursday, 9 p.m. Let's get it. Crier, what about you? You got anything on your side?
Not super, really. I've been playing some Starfield still. That's about it, really. And then I could have played some more Parallel a lot the last past couple days. They had a reset of the season, and then they have their Planetfall first expansion of cards that's coming out too. Pretty interesting.
Okay.
But I have a full NFT deck now.
Ooh, you're cooking over there. Okay.
All right, baby.
Cryer decided to cook over there. But the other thing I will say, if you are playing Marvel Snap, even yourself, Cryer, I know you don't play as much anymore or anything. Log into Marvel Snap in the next, I think it's 10 days, and they're giving you a brand new Midnight Sun Doctor Strange variant, which is like dope as hell. So just log in really quick, click the top right corner, and it's a free card that you get. Maybe you don't have Doctor Strange, and that literally unlocks Doctor Strange for you. But there is a new season with all like the mid, they're actually a partnership with Marvel Snap and Midnight Suns, which is a game that came out on PC, Xbox, PlayStation. Game was great, but unfortunately everything Marvel except Marvel Snap on the gaming side has just completely tanked. And hopefully we can start seeing some good Marvel video games. That's what Marvel's been like kind of worried about. And we are getting a Wolverine like open world, Black Panther and Iron Man, like completely open world. So if those games hit, maybe Marvel can get back on the map on the gaming side on, of course, consoles and PC. But other than that, Crier, that pretty much wraps it up for us. Our next episode should be an interesting one, to say the least. Do we give like a little spoiler?
Oh, yeah. We got Luca coming on next week.
Oh, Jesus. Awesome. You just chucked it like that. Golly. All right. We're getting the Penguin himself, the man, the myth, the legend, man. Luke. He's jumping on the podcast. That should be out next week. So get your, what are they called? The fluffs?
Listening ears.
I don't know, get your pluffs. No, I forgot. What were the pets in Club Penguin? I forgot. Just get those little furry things and get ready for an episode of Nerd FT Radio featuring Luca in the next one. We'll catch you guys later. Peace.
Later.